And if you want to know about number four, continued Silver, and that boy, why, isn't he a hostage? Are we going to waste a hostage? No, not us. He might be our last chance, and I shouldn't wonder. And number three, well, there's a deal to say to number three. Maybe you don't count it nothing to have a real college doctor come to see you every day. You, John, with your head broke, or you, George Mary, that had the shakes upon you not 6 hours ago, and your eyes has the color of lemon peel to this same moment. And maybe, perhaps, you didn't know there was a concert coming either. But there is, and not so long till then, and we'll see who'll be glad to have a hostage when it comes to that. And as for number two and why I made a bargain, well, you came crawling on your knees to me to make it. And you'd have starved, too, if I hadn't, but that's a trifle. You look there, that's why. And he cast down upon the floor a paper that I instantly recognized, none other than the chart on yellow paper with the three red crosses that I had found in the oilcloth at the bottom of the captain's chest. Why the doctor had given it to him was more than I could fancy. But if it were inexplicable to me, the appearance of the chart was incredible to the surviving mutineers. They leaped upon it like cats upon a mouse. It went from hand to hand, one tearing it from another, and by the oaths and the cries and the childish laughter with which they accompanied their examination, you would have thought not only they were fingering the very gold, but were at the sea with it, besides, in safety. Yes, at one, that's Flint, sure enough, J.F., and a score below with a clove hitch to it. So he done ever. Mighty pretty, said George, but how are we to get away with it, and us no ship? Silver suddenly sprang up, and supporting himself with a hand against the wall. Now I give you warning, George, he cried. One more word from you, and I'll call you down and fight you. How? Why, how do I know? You had ought to tell me that, you and the rest, that lost me my schooner with your interference. But you can't. You haven't got the invention of a cockroach. But civil you can speak and shall, George Mary, you may lay to that. That's fair enough, said the old man Morgan. Fair? I reckon so, said the sea cook. You lost the ship, I found the treasure. Who's the better man at that? And now I resign. Elect who you please to be your captain now, I'm done with it. Silver, they cried. Barbecue forever. Barbecue for captain. So that's the tune, is it? Cried the cook. George, I reckon you'll have to wait another turn, friend, and lucky for you that I'm not a revengeful man. That was never my way. And now, shipmates, this black spot. It ain't much good now, is it? Dick's crossed his luck and spoiled his Bible, and that's about all. Here, Jim, here's a curiosity for you, said Silver, and he tossed me the paper. It was a round about the size of a crown piece. One side was blank, for it had been the last leaf. The other contained a verse or two of Revelation. These words among the rest, which struck sharply home upon my mind. Without are dogs and murderers. The printed side had been blackened with wood ash, which already began to come off and soil my fingers. On the blank side had been written, with the same material, the one word, deposed. I have that curiosity beside me at this moment, but not a trace of writing now remains beyond a single scratch, such as a man might make with his thumbnail. That was the end of the night's business. Soon after, with a drink all around, we lay down to sleep, and the outside of Silver's vengeance was to put George Mary up for sentinel, and threaten him with death if he should prove unfaithful. It was long before I could close an eye, and heaven knows I had matter enough for thought in the man whom I had slain that afternoon, in my own most perilous position, and above all in the remarkable game that I saw Silver now engaged upon, keeping the mutineers together with one hand, and grasping with the other, after every means, possible and impossible, to make his peace and save his miserable life. He himself slept peacefully and snored aloud, yet my heart was sore for him, wicked as he was, to think on the dark perils and the shameful gibbet that awaited him.